This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. We've got a great guest here today on Aftermarket Weekly. Tom Shear from Shear's Sales and Service in Allentown, PA. Hey, Tom.
Hi there. How are you doing, Carm?
I am great, Tom. Good to have you here. We've got a great episode for you. We're going to, of course, as you all know, going to have a really cool tour of Tom's shop. So how long have you guys been in business?
So we're in business 27 years now. We started July of 95 is when we bought from my old boss.
By the way, Rick White is your business coach, isn't he?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Rick, good to have you hovering over here. And when we're all done, Rick, you need to, you know, call Tom and tell him how well he did. Hello, Brenda. Good to have you all here. We got to thank Dorman so much for their support. The aftermarket is filled with companies that make replacement parts, but few invest in design, engineering, manufacturing, programming, and testing like Dorman. They are home to hundreds of mechanical, electrical, and manufacturing engineers spread out all across the globe who ensure every part that is produced meets rigorous industry standards for performance. To do this, Dorman utilizes cutting-edge technology and equipment to test fit, form, and functionality of all their parts. Some of these tests include rapid prototyping 3D models for fitment checks, tolerance testing on both mechanical and electronic components through salt fog and thermal heat and pressure testing. Dorman drives their dedication to their engineering by including their in-house programmers who write and test new software solutions. Solving for a problem is what powers the innovation engine at Dorman. Dorman invests in these OE innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. Hey, to learn more about Dorman's engineering process, visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
Thanks again, Dorman. Great company. I've toured their main Philadelphia operation, and boy, they just do so many great things down there. Look, Tom, glad to have you here. Let's talk some business with you. I know you brought one very passionate topic that you'd love to discuss, and that would be on focus. I'll be the first one to admit it's some very hard thing to do.
100%. Yes, it is. It's definitely tough to get going, and once you get in that groove, you can keep on going. But it's definitely it's a tough start.
Do you have any secrets as to how you get yourself focused? Do you live off a day planner? Do you look at all the things you need to accomplish every day? Obviously, focus. You said you have a great coach in Rick White. He obviously is an accountability partner for you, and that also helps you focus.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a huge part of it. Rick's been really a big part of where I'm at and what we've got going on. Yeah, I'm definitely a work in progress as far as, my day planner, things like that goes. I mean, I have actually, my full focus planner here that Sammy got me for Christmas, and working on implementing that more than just writing down a list. There's a lot that goes into it.
I've got a couple of electronic items that I keep track of. I'm a voracious note taker. And you know what happens? You put one note on top of the next, and you lose focus as to what the one that you wrote an hour ago, which is why I sometimes like the electronic ones. Focus resonates with you. And you recently told me that someone you know may have lost the focus on a few things in life.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tough that, you know, things like that come into play, because I just feel it's so important to get a head start on this if you can. Basically, make a little bit of a sacrifice to get this stuff set up and in place right off the bat, so that you don't get into this the vicious cycle. You know, when you get this into place, put some systems and processes down and work on that with your team. I'm not a one-man guy here. I have 10 employees. You know, most of us have a few people with us. So let's put systems and processes in place and empower our team to do their job. You know, I mean, I, as a leader, I have a responsibility for the results of what we have to do, but I don't have that responsibility to do everything in there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. You brought up something huge. And can I just challenge your think? Is leadership the main focus that you have to perform for your people?
That's where it all starts. And, you know, with the leadership, that branches out into everything else. You know, it's as you know, that responsibility, taking your team down the path that they need to go and empowering them to do their job. So you don't have to be micromanaging them.
You said systems and processes. And I've always said, after I say those two words, I always say win wars. I always say that because I learned that so, so many years ago, that if people didn't have something to follow or to focus on, this is exactly how we run the business, then you lose. And you lose in the marketplace, you lose great people, you lose customers. And the war that I believe that we're all in is to be the best and hire the best and have the best customers. That's the win every day.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, as along with that, you know, I mean, you need to teach your team what to do, how to do it, but most importantly, why we want them to do it in a certain way.
It's the why. I mean, I can hear Rick at the other end saying, you know, wow, I'm teaching him right. I'm teaching him right. Everything we do for a reason. And if it's your reason, but you haven't shared it with your team, their heart's not going to be in the task you ask them to do.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and I mean, let's take a step back and just forget about everything we just spoke about. Go to what I did when I first started out. You know, it's I didn't know what needed to be done. So I basically just went with the day to day. You know, the activity is what guided what we did. And, you know, you just go through these motions day to day, putting out fires, you know, working on this, working on that, running in circles. You never have time to build on anything that you have. You're stuck in this constant cycle. It's Groundhog's Day, right? You got two different paths you can go down. You know, you can just sit there and just, you know, go with the flow and it is what it is. Or you can say, this is my company, this is my, you know, responsibility, this is what I'm doing, and this is how we're going to do it, and take control of that, be in control of your future.
There isn't anyone that I know who has a great career or a great business doesn't have bumps. And if you've got great focus, and then when those bumps hit, then you prioritize. You know, you may have had a list of 10 things I got to do today, but when the bump hits, there's only maybe three that matter. The latest episodes that we have going on here in the company, Aaron Becker released today. Wow, this was a great episode. He is the president of Aircept. I think you really like it. We got into some technical stuff. And again, plan for slow times. That was a great episode. The old always be marketing thing, but much more in depth. Matt Fonslow, the Kung Fu Hustle with Justin Morgan. That was a really great episode. And Going Multi-Location Part 3 with Hunt Demarest. And that's three incredible episodes altogether, the one, two, and three with Hunt on that. So I think we're ready for your virtual tour. We're going to go out and see what's going on. And like I always tell the audience, I have not seen this yet. Can't wait to see it. I'm going to watch. Tom, you narrate.
Yeah, you know, this is our showroom entrance. So we do some sales here. The majority of what we focus on is service, though. So there's one of the clients checking out one of the cars on our lot. There's our display lot for our sales cars, showroom. And, I have to admit, I have some of my toys in here. I don't actually have cars for sale. So I don't have a big garage at home. So
is the Camaro a toy?
That's my toy.
Yeah. Stop it. Tell me what year.
71.
Oh, my God. My first car was a 72. I love the nose on that car. That's the split bumper, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that car. My first car ever. Yeah.
Here's the service entrance, the service area. That's Lucy. That's our CSR over there. Here's Samantha. That's my daughter and my amazing service advisor.
Great. Family business.
Yeah, absolutely. So Christy, my wife, couldn't be there that day. She had to leave a little bit earlier, but she's usually in helping us out as well. Yeah, waiting area, go outside and just show the side entrance there. And so we generally have our customers pull up along the side entrance there, right by the service entrance, stop and come on in. That way you don't have to worry about fighting through a, the parking down below, because that can get a little bit crazy. So, but we have our drop-off box. We have our locker there for after-hours pickup and drop-off.
Nice, clean, very fresh look.
Very impressive. And you know, one day I'd love for you to teach me a little bit about the used car business someday.
I can try. I'm not the best at it, to be perfectly honest. But so this here is our lunch/training room. You can see there's washer and dryer over there for mostly used car stuff. But we have our security system here. We have our cameras and everything mounted there. Whiteboard for our just taking notes and everything. We usually list out our loaners that need service and things like that on that board. Here's our key rack. We're pretty much paperless now, so we don't have work orders anymore. That there's Mikey Austin. That's our service manager. I've known Mikey since he's a kid. I graduated with his older brother. So,
is he managing the shop? Is he the foreman? I know he said you the service manager. How many roles does he have?
Mike is our service manager first and foremost. He actually came on with us as our kind of a little bit of do everything many, many years ago. He oversees the whole service department and he reports to me on a daily basis, through an email at the end of the day with a report as far as how things went and, a number of KPIs for us to look at together.
Does he do any estimating at all?
Yeah, so he does estimating. The majority of what Mike does is he does handles the management side of things. He handles the parts side of it, and he assists Samantha in the service advisor and the presentation role.
Excellent. An increasingly more important role as you combine all of those jobs under one. Excellent.
We're currently looking to take the parts role off of his shoulders to give him more of a management role to be more focused on that. We're looking at bringing in a parts manager. Yeah, so here's our parts. This is where we keep parts for our technicians for the day on the table. Then behind there is parts coming in for future work. A little bit of a mess on the side there. That's where our returns are. Have our additives in the back here, different hardware, stuff like that. We don't stock a whole lot anymore. We're lucky enough to have Worldpac delivers to us 3 times a day. There's our filtered assortment for our Euro cars. Up here we have our, we focus on European, but we do service and maintain some of the domestic and Asian. So we do deck of batteries. Here's our technician room, a desk for the guys to talk on the phone, work with a customer or a vendor or tech support. We have all of our tools in here. We have, that's our ISTA cart for BMW, our battery maintainer right onto that. We have our Mercedes factory tooling right there. That's the Accenture, if I'm even saying it right. We have a boatload of our independent tools, aftermarket tools there. We have the Bosch. We have different Altels. That's our AutoLogic.
Very organized. I love it because when the guy needs a tool, he goes right for it and it's always there.
And here you're going to have Ralphie Asher, one of our technicians. He is doing an 8S camera recalibration for one of the local glass shops. We're fairly new to the 8S ordeal here, so we're still learning, but we're getting there. Ralphie's doing a really good job with it.
And when you did your return on investment with that, Tom, you were obviously you bought it, so you must be satisfied with it. But and so many guys are reaching out into the community and raising their hand and says, hey, listen, come to us. We can help you.
Right. And that's where I'm kind of getting a slow start with that. I mean, I worked through the ROI stuff. And to be honest, I didn't pay as much attention to that as maybe I should have. I just knew it was an area that I wanted to get into. It's an area that is pretty light for us, for our area. I had the opportunity and I went forward with it. Kip, who's watching, probably Dave is watching. They both assisted me with the purchase of the Altel 8S setup.
Very nice. Are you one of the first in the area, Tom, to have that?
There's, I think there's like 2 or 3 others in the area.
I'm glad you did it.
Yeah. So basically just going down through the side here, that's Adam, our newest tech. He's our Porsche technician. Just before him on the other side was Jeff, our Mercedes guy. This is Zarin's bay. Zarin does a lot of the BMW and Jaguar stuff.
How many techs altogether, Tom?
We have 4 techs right now. We're working on bringing our 5th tech in right now.
Good for you. Now, are you mostly Euro?
Yes. Yeah, we started out Volkswagen Audi only 25 years ago, 27 years ago, I'm sorry. We branched out to everything at one point, started servicing everything. We moved a few times along the way. And from there, we've narrowed it down to the European focus. We don't diagnose or do anything in-depth electronic with anything domestic or Asian anymore. We partnered with another shop, a good friend of mine, Adam, for that stuff there. And he brings the Euro to us. We send the domestic and Asian to him.
Are you doing that as a sublet, Tom, or are you just giving him the car?
we communicate very well with our customer to find out what's going to be best for them. You know, if they want to go directly over to Adam, they'll go over to him, or we will take care of that on our own here and sublet that out to them. We're very big on being transparent with our customer and doing what works best for them. You know, and if that means us taking care of it, that's what we'll do to keep the, you know, keep everything within that.
I see you have a floor scrubber. That's nice. And what's that up on the ledge?
So that is our new pressure washer that we just got installed a few months back. And I tell you what, it's just amazing. Everybody who touches it absolutely loves it. You know, we had the old hot seat that sat in the corner. We'd have to pull it out, unwrap it, plug it in, hook the hose up. This thing here is pretty much, it's there. It's ready to roll. We hit the power button. We hit the switch for heat and we pull out on the reel and it's ready to go. We're done with it. We reel it back up and it's, that's it. Right here is the reel and the switch and everything. It works really good. Helps the guys clean off wheels, clean off grease. You know, we have that lift there in that end base. We can put it up in the air. If we have a really oily mess, we can clean off the car. It works really good. Then this pump here that we're showing right now, that's basically our evacuation pump for our oil drains that pumps the waste oil out into our tank outside. And we do use a waste oil furnace to heat the shop.
How many bays altogether am I looking at?
So we have 8 lifts, basically. And then what's really cool is we have all this floor space. So wintertime, we get snow, you know, nasty weather. I have cars on the lot. I always say, at night, it's my shop. So I put my cars in first, and whatever's left over, customer cars comes in. We try to jam as much as we can in there.
I love your car mover.
Yeah, that's a couple months old. We got that too. That's, you know, we're just looking to be as efficient as we can. And, you know, if we have a car that's broken down outside and we have to get 4 guys out there to push a car, that's 4 guys that are stopped producing. You know, here with this, one guy brings a car in and 3 others are continuing to work.
So I'm hearing that more and more, Tom.
Got to be efficient.
Do a lot of tires?
We don't. We're a Continental Gold dealer. We have like a $400 tire minimum to be active in the program. And I'm going to be honest, we didn't hit it last year. You know, tires are a convenience for our customer. We are not going to compete against the tire shops and the tire racks of the world or anything like that. We're going to offer it as a convenience. And if we can do something for them, great. If not, you know, if the customer wants to go to their own tire place, that's all right too.
Oh, well, it's an opportunity to grow. This isn't your sale lot, is it?
This is my service lot. So this is a customer cars down here. Down back, you can see we have another pool building down there that we store extra equipment in, you know, indoor storage for customers' cars if they're here for a while.
What a piece of property. This is huge.
So if I didn't say it before, this is my dream shop. This was my competition that I bought out a few years back. And I used to drive past here. I actually drove Rick past here one time when he was up doing an on-site visit with us. And I pointed out and told him that this was my dream shop. So it's pretty amazing that we're actually here.
Wow. How many acres?
I think just under three, but I'm not 100% sure.
You can add to the building. You own it, right? So there's so much you can do with it when you got the land. And what a beautiful building. Well, your dream shop. And you said one day, Rick, I want to buy that, right?
I did, yeah.
Well, you focused, didn't you?
We did. Yeah, we got it. We're able to get here. We just got to keep it going.
Very proud of all the great things you've got going there. And love your systems, your processes, your peoples, your roles. And you're not afraid to invest in equipment.
No. It's the way of the world. We got to, you know, keep up with it to be able to take care of our clients.
How cool is that? Tom Scheer, thank you so much. Scheer's Sales and Service, Allentown, Pennsylvania. We're going to have you back on, my friend. Thanks for the shop tour and our small talk this earlier in the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.